Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Democrats are now coming out wanting to come after your guns, and they've been doing this in a very smart way politically. They've been demonizing Republicans that are in favor of protecting your right to own guns. They've been making personal attacks against them. Chuck Schumer and others have been coming out and really starting to work over any conservatives that are in favor of firearms. Let me give you an example of how the media has kind of gotten the country ready for this new push for gun control measures. MSNBC's Chris Hayes came out and compared a GOP congresswoman to Osama bin Laden because she actually posed with guns behind her in her office. Just take a listen to what Chris Hayes at MSNBC actually had to say about Representative Lauren Boebert, about her and her guns behind her. Take a listen to this commentary.
She zoomed into a virtual congressional hearing with just a mess of guns piled on the bookshelf behind her. AR-15 style rifles, a handgun just laying across a bunch of books. Boebert, who's raising 4 young boys, later tweeted that the guns are not in storage but are, quote, ready for use. Apparently, she just leaves them out because she fears she may need to fire multiple rounds of ammo into someone who comes into her den.
By the way, I love the condescending nature of this commentary. Right? So she thinks she may have to use a gun to shoot multiple rounds into someone that comes into her den. What do you think a home invasion actually is, Chris? Seriously, let's really debate the premise of his sarcasm there. What happens if someone comes into Chris Hayes' house? I'm sure he doesn't have a gun based on what he's saying. So what is he going to do at that point? Like, what is he going to do at that moment? Because the fact that MSNBC's Chris Hayes is even saying this tells you something you really need to know about. What MSNBC's Chris Hayes is saying is, it is absurd that you would ever need a gun with multiple bullets in it, right? I think he wants us to go back to the Barney Fife days, apparently, where Barney Fife is sitting there and you got one bullet and that's all you need. What if multiple people break into your house at the same time and come into your den that you mock this congresswoman? What if 3 or 4 people come in? How many bullets do you then need? Because part of what Democrats are now pushing for is a bullet control measure. You can't have more than X number of bullets in your gun, in your magazine, right? That's something we're not allowing you to do. We are going to pick an arbitrary number, not based on anything but fear. And we're going to tell you that solely based on fear that you can't have this many bullets, which is exactly why you just heard MSNBC mock a woman for having firearms ready that have multiple bullets in that magazine. Because what are you afraid of, woman? Well, I'm afraid of people actually breaking my house. And if it happens to be the den that I'm in, I want to make sure that I have multiple rounds that I am able to shoot at that person and or people that are coming into my home that could be there to kill me. Or in her case, to kill or sexually assault or to attack her family, sexually assault her family. We don't know what's in the mind of criminals. But again, it's a stupid idea to think that you need multiple bullets, right?
Apparently, she just leaves them out because she fears she may need to fire multiple rounds of ammo into someone who comes into her den.
Do I need to go back through all the crime reports nationwide that actually show that people do break into people's houses, that multiple people actually break into people's homes? Do I need to show you all the police reports of people that have used multiple rounds of ammunition to protect and defend themselves and their family against home invasions, against rapists, against murderers? I'm wondering, like, do you not know what actually goes on in a crime? And the question I have for all of these Democrats, every single one of them that's coming out saying we need to have a ban now on what they refer to as high capacity magazines. How did you come up with the number? Right. What is the number? How did you come up with a number? How did you decide arbitrarily what the number is of rounds that you believe that I'm allowed to have? Is there any science in that? Is there anything in that decision that makes sense that I need to know about? Because I am genuinely curious to understand how you came up with your number of rounds that is appropriate for me to have in my gun and what is inappropriate for me to have my gun. My other question is, I'm curious to know what they think this congresswoman should have in her home. What gun is it that you believe that she should be able to have? Is it a single shot 22? Or is it only mace or pepper spray? Like what is it? What is the number? I want to know. I need to know. I really do. I need to understand your legislation and the logic behind your legislation. If someone can explain to me what your legislation and what the logic is behind your legislation, please, 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 please let me know ASAP. Because otherwise, I'm going to continue with my assumption. And my assumption is you guys are just making this crap up. You're just making this crap up as you go. You're just deciding to arbitrarily make up stuff as you go, not based on fact, not based on logic, not based on anything but your feelings. And you feel like it is dumb for a congresswoman to have a gun in her house, a congresswoman have a gun that has multiple rounds of ammunition in her home, because that's just stupid, right? Yeah, apparently that's just something that's really, really dumb. Listen to the last part, though, of this attack from MSNBC.
You know, lots of people immediately noted that the use of guns in that way as props and the implicit threat that comes with them has a, you know, long, not necessarily great history among various movements around the globe. Osama bin Laden, for one, liked to pose in front of a bookshelf with a gun prominently displayed.
Hold on a second. Whoa, whoa. So a congresswoman who is known as a pro-gun advocate. Want to make this really clear. A congresswoman that is known as being a gun advocate who has a gun on her bookshelf behind her is now Osama bin Laden? Is now Osama bin Laden? Because Osama bin Laden is immediately what you go to when you see a gun behind somebody, a terrorist. You notice that all of what he had to say had nothing to do with facts. None of what was just said by him had anything to do with reality. It had everything to do with fear, fear-mongering, making you paranoid, making you fearful of what may happen if somebody has a gun that we say shouldn't have a gun, including a United States congresswoman. Because no one's really going to break into your home. No one's actually going to break into your house or your den. And you don't need that gun to defend yourself, because that's absurd, right? No one breaks in a large group of people into your home. And you don't need any of this.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The 2024 election is upon us, and the war on masculinity in America today is more blatant than ever. I want you to know that now is the time to choose strength and vitality over weakness and complacency. The problem is men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically, at all-time low. And isn't that what the liberal elite want? A weak and docile underclass. Thankfully, the Patriots at Chalk, CHOQ, are here to help real American men take back the right to proudly maximize their masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now look, I've been taking the Chalk Male Vitality Stack for over a year now, and it works. Period. It's manufactured right here in the U.S. Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus, your mood. And guess what? Over the last year, I've lost almost 50 pounds because I'm working out again and I feel so much more active than I ever had before, especially hitting over 40. So maximize your masculinity today at Chalk, CHOQ.com. Use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any subscription for life. That's CHOQ.com. Promo code Ben for lifetime savings on any subscription. Limited time offer, subscriptions cancelable anytime. CHOQ.com, promo code Ben. So the media has rolled out their game plan. Demonize, dehumanize, and attack anyone that defends and protects guns. Let me introduce you, though, to Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader now, who has come out talking about gun control. He is now attacking people who pray, saying no more thoughts and prayers. None of that. Even though at the very beginning of his remarks, he actually talked about prayers, praying, and lighting a candle every single day for those who've died with gun violence, because that's what the Bible instructs us to do. So which one is it, Chuck? Like, are we going to go religion or are we not going to go religion here? Listen to what Chuck Schumer has to say. And again, he literally contradicts himself within 90 seconds. He comes out thanking the victims and the advocates and thanking the people standing up for, to stop gun violence in this country. And he says they light a candle every day, which is what the Bible tells us to do. And then he immediately throws the Bible out the window and says, no more thoughts and prayers. A vote is what we need. Screw religion. We got to have a vote.
So important an issue. And I particularly want to thank the survivors and the families of the victims and so many who have that horrible hole in their heart, because they lost someone to gun violence. So many children on our streets gone. And yet these advocates light a candle every day. That's what the Bible tells us is the saintly and noble thing to do.
That's what the Bible tells us to do, the saintly and noble thing to do. So let's invoke the Bible, let's invoke religion for the reason why we need gun control and the reason why we should be doing this and standing up for these advocates and the anti-gun movement and those that have been affected by gun crimes, correct? Like, let's assume that everybody that's been a victim of a gun crime is obviously automatically anti-gun, which is also not true because I'm a victim of a gun crime and I'm the complete opposite of that. I'm in favor of making sure that every law-abiding citizen has a right to protect and defend themselves in their home, in their car, when they're out in public, wherever they go. But what Chuck Schumer has just done is he's implied that everybody that's ever been a victim of a gun crime, I'm one of them, is on the same page here, that we all are in favor of banning guns and that we all go out every day, which is what the Bible is telling us to do, when we light a candle and we advocate for this movement, which is something I'm not in favor of, and I'm a victim of a gun crime. So please don't put words in my mouth, Senator Schumer. But remember, this is all semantics. It's all about religion and faith and pulling on your heartstrings. And most importantly, what Chuck Schumer is doing right now is making an emotional appeal to women in America, mothers in America, because if they can get the mothers on their team, they can get this passed, is what they believe. Forget men, right? Men more or less are pro-gun in this country. So let's just alienate them and be done with them. Let's go after the mothers and pull on their heartstrings, the women, and assume that anyone's a victim of a gun crime, anyone is in favor of massive gun control measures, which we are doing today. So now that we've appealed to you emotionally and through the Bible and through scripture and through lighting of candles, we'll throw all that crap out the window, right? We've already hooked you. We got you on the line. Now we're going to tell you no more thoughts and prayers.
Instead of just cursing the darkness, and I thank them as well. This issue is very important to me, as you, those of you who've been around a while know. I was the author of the Brady Law back in 1994 in the House of Representatives, and we passed it. And there are literally so many, you could probably say certainly hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people walking the streets today because we passed that law, who'd be dead. But when we passed the law, it had, little did we know, it had some loopholes in it that we didn't know at the time. We didn't know there'd be an internet, so we didn't prohibit internet sales without a background check. And to get the last few votes, just a little history, a couple of our members from more moderate states said, just exclude gun shows. Don't put them in, because in those days, actually, gun shows weren't much. They were places where you showed your 1939 Derringer off. And of course, the NRA and the gun merchants and the merchants of death started.
The merchants of death. That's a new one. Get ready for that line to be used everywhere. The merchants of death. Now, I own a gun store. A lot of you know that. I own a gun range. I own an academy that teaches women and children, or teaches women and the parents of children how to protect and defend themselves. I'm now apparently, in the eyes of the Democratic Party, a merchant of death. Think about what our Second Amendment says. If you think any of these guys are in favor of the Second Amendment, you are not paying attention. You are not paying attention. These guys do not believe in those, and they're going to tell you over and over and over and over again, right? They're going to tell you over and 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 over again that they are Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment doesn't cover all the guns they don't like. It's not true, right? They're going to do all of this over and over and over again. Over and over and over and over and over again. That's what they're going to tell you. You can have this, you can have this, but you can't have this, 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 and this, because the Second Amendment somehow doesn't allow for that, doesn't provide for that. That's not how this works. And if you disagree with us, you are a merchant of death. You have a gun store. You help protect and defend innocent people from violent criminals in this country. You're a merchant of death. Sounds like there's a lot of room for debate, right? Sounds like a whole lot of tolerance going on. Sounds like a whole lot of room to discuss and negotiate and find common ground. There is no common ground with these Democrats, including the leader of the Democratic Party. And it's very clear until every gun they hate, which is every gun basically in America, is taken away from you and your right to own it. And they will invoke the Bible to appeal to you for this. And then they'll tell you there's no more thoughts and prayers. So screw the Bible, throw that away, screw prayer. After we appeal to you on prayer and lighting a candle and doing what the good book tells you. And then we will immediately do the opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. We'll slander everyone that owns a gun or buys a gun or sells a gun.
Don't put them in, because in those days, actually, gun shows weren't much. They were places where you showed your 1939 Derringer off. And of course, the NRA and the gun merchants and the merchants of death started using the gun shows as a way to get around the law. So H.R. 8 closes these loopholes. A universal background check. It is desperately needed. And the House, of course, has had the good sense to pass this three times? Twice.
Dude, I love this. Guy doesn't even know how many times they pass it in the House, but he's the leader of this bill. I also love how he talks about the loopholes, which the loophole is one of the biggest fallacies in the gun world. If you look at the stats, go look at the FBI stats. These criminals are committing crimes. They're not doing this at gun shows. They're not going through a loophole as they describe. And if you want to, quote, close the loophole, fine. We can have that debate. But it's kind of hard for me to have that debate when you don't even know how many times you've introduced this legislation. One, and two, you don't understand firearms. And three, you refer to me as a merchant of death. Kind of hard to deal with that crap. You want me to come to the table and have an authentic and genuine conversation about firearms in this country? Don't refer to us as merchants of death. Understand actual gun rights. Understand what a loophole is and isn't. Understand this.
Twice after today.
Twice after today. I love that part. So he says they've introduced this three times, passed it three times in the House. And it's, wait, no, twice in the House. Wait, hold on. We've only passed it once in the House, but it'll be second time after today, literally referring to today. This guy doesn't even know about the damn legislation. He doesn't even understand what's in the bill. He doesn't understand what the bill's about. He doesn't understand any of what this bill does, much less how often they've introduced the legislation. If this is such life-saving information, Chuck Schumer, then how come you don't even know how many times the bill's been up for a vote?
will have the good sense to have passed this bill twice.
I love it. He's laughing. Oh, well, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about here. I'm just going to laugh it off. Well, we've now had the good sense to introduce this bill twice with this life-saving bill that strips your Second Amendment rights. And we'll chuckle about it because I don't even understand what really this bill is or how often it's been around or what's in the bill or what we've done with the bill. This is why I don't trust Democrats with our Second Amendment right on any level. They don't even know what their bill says, when it's been introduced, or how many times it's been passed. If you don't know how many times it's been passed, then I have a feeling you don't even know what's in it.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The 2024 election is upon us, and the war on masculinity in America today is more blatant than ever. I want you to know that now is the time to choose strength and vitality over weakness and complacency. The problem is men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically, at all-time low. And isn't that what the liberal elite want? A weak and docile underclass. Thankfully, the Patriots at Chalk, CHOQ, are here to help real American men take back the right to proudly maximize their masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now look, I've been taking the Chalk Male Vitality Stack for over a year now, and it works. Period. It's manufactured right here in the U.S. Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus, your mood. And guess what? Over the last year, I've lost almost 50 pounds because I'm working out again and I feel so much more active than I ever had before, especially hitting over 40. So maximize your masculinity today at Chalk, CHOQ.com. Use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any subscription for life. That's CHOQ.com. Promo code Ben for lifetime savings on any subscription. Limited time offer, subscriptions cancelable anytime. CHOQ.com, promo code Ben. Chuck Schumer, grandstanding, standing up there telling you that this legislation that deals with guns is the most important thing we'll ever accomplish. It's going to save people's lives. 25 seconds later, we're laughing because we don't even know what's in the bill. We don't know how many times we've introduced the legislation. We don't know how many times the legislation has been passed. But beforehand, I'll be all self-righteous and tell you how great the bill is that I know nothing about. This is the Senate Majority Leader. The guy in charge of pushing the legislation through. And then has to just chuckle about it. Oh, well, I thought it was three times we've done this legislation. No, it's not. It's two. Wait, oh, hold on a second. Wait, it's not two. It's like, I mean, I feel like I was almost watching Joe Biden here with all the confusion. It's two times. Well, it's not actually two times, Majority Leader. It's not, oh, well, after today, it'll be two times. Let's chuckle and laugh it off, and then we'll move on to how serious this legislation, how important it really is.
So H.R. 8. Closes these loopholes, a universal background check. It is desperately needed. And the House, of course, has had the good sense to pass this three times? Twice.
Twice after today.
Oh, twice after today. We'll have the good sense to have passed this bill twice. And in the past, when they sent it over to us last time, it went into Mitch McConnell's legislative graveyard.
Can you imagine, by the way, if like a Republican would have done that? You walk out, you have a huge press conference, you have all these people there, all these victims, you invoke God, you invoke the Bible, you use other people's tragedies to push this legislation, and then you don't even know what's in the legislation, and you don't even know how many times you propose the legislation, and then you say it's three, then it's two, well, then it's one, well, today it'll be two. And then you say, well, when we sent it before, the one time we did, it went into the graveyard of the Republican Party, and you are a a supporter of, what was it? What was it, Diaz? A supporter of death. You're a merchant of death if you sell guns. Yeah, you're a merchant of death if you sell guns in America today. This is what they think of the Second Amendment. Not just, I don't take it personally. I take it personally that they hate this country so much and don't understand our Second Amendment that they refer to anybody that actually wants to help protect and defend other people as merchants of death. Slandering anyone that actually is involved in commerce that is in our Constitution with our Second Amendment right.
The legislative graveyard is over. H.R. 8 will be on the floor of the Senate, and we will see where everybody stands. No more hopes and prayers, thoughts and prayers. A vote is what we need. A vote, not thoughts and prayers. And we will see where people stand. And maybe we'll get the votes, and if we don't, we'll come together as a caucus and figure out how we're going to get this done, because we have to get it done for the lives of the American people, for the safety of our streets, and particularly for our young kids, so many of whom in my state and all the states represent, mine and Jerry's state, and all the states represented here, whose lives are taken at such tender ages because of gun violence and guns.
By the way, I'm totally in favor of kids not getting guns. I'm also in favor of making sure that single mothers, single parents, families, grandparents have the right to protect and defend their kids to make sure they don't die because of gun violence. You got to remember, the majority of children that die when it comes to anything to do with a gun is at the hands of someone that's a lawbreaker. Let's not forget that. Right. Like, seriously, let's not forget that. It's not like you got a bunch of law abiding citizens running around just randomly, you know, often kids. A lot of these are drive by shootings from gangbangers and others that kill innocent women and children. Gang retaliation, for example. You know, a lot of the people that committed some of these heinous crimes. Don't forget this either. Are the same people that we let out of prison in the name of COVID-19. Let them out early, which Democrats advocated for. So now I'm being lectured by a guy that doesn't understand the legislation, doesn't know what's in it, doesn't know how many times it's been passed or even has been proposed, who is now saying that anyone that buys or sells guns is a merchant of death, wants me to come to the table and figure out a deal on guns? I'll pass. But we're going to get this done, by golly. We're going to do this. We're going to know where everybody stands. Do you stand with the murderers or do you stand with the children? That's their premise.
Senator Durbin will be holding hearings. And we are shining the spotlight on this issue. We are going to win on this issue. The American people, I'm sure it's been mentioned, are overwhelmingly, like 90%. On our side. So I thank the House
Can the fact checkers please like fact check that? He just said the American people are overwhelmingly on our side, like 90%. That is just not true. Go find me a poll that says that 90% of Americans are in favor of extreme gun control. It doesn't exist. They just make this crap up. You think any fact checkers out there are going to silence or call out Schumer for that crap that he just peddled to the American people that over 90% of Americans are in favor of this bill? If 90% of Americans were in favor of this legislation, they wouldn't need a press conference. It would be already passed. If 90% of Americans are in favor of what they just proposed, you just do it. Like you just make it happen. You just say, overwhelmingly, 90% of Americans are in favor of this legislation, so therefore we're passing it, first thing we do, because it would be the easiest bill that you would ever pass. It would be a no-brainer. Why are you having to fight for legislation that 90% of Americans you claim are in favor of? If that were true, there would be no debate. It would be automatic. It wouldn't be a roll call vote. It would be a voice vote. Like, let's just slam this thing down. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's own it. Let's get it done. That is what would happen. That's exactly what would happen. 90% of Americans, I'm sorry, that's just a lie. It's not true. 90% of Americans are not in favor of this legislation. And Schumer knows it. Well, maybe he doesn't. This is the same guy that thought this legislation had been passed three times. I mean, two times. I mean, one time. Well, whatever it is, the majority, 90-plus percent overwhelmingly of the American people are in favor of a bill. If that's true, you wouldn't have to slander people like MSNBC did, saying that a United States congresswoman is nothing, is no different than Osama bin Laden. Because that's what he said, because she had a gun on a bookshelf behind her during a Zoom call. Yeah, she's Osama bin Laden. If this was so easy, you wouldn't have to work this hard to lie to the American people. If you had all this support, you wouldn't have to lie to everybody this way. Chris Hayes wouldn't have to make up crap, saying that a congresswoman is nothing different, and mock if her home gets, you know, broken into, that she might not have enough bullets to defend herself or her kids. This Representative Lauren Boebert, she attended a virtual hearing with guns as a backdrop on her bookshelf, and that triggered the left.
Last Thursday, she zoomed into a virtual congressional hearing with just a mess of guns piled on the bookshelf behind her.
Well, by the way, I just want you to know, I'm counting what a mess of guns is. It's four. It's four. Now, the people that are watching the segment on MSNBC can see that it's four guns. Does that sound like a mess of guns? A mess of guns to me is, I'm not going to lie, more than four. I don't know what your definition of a mess of guns is, but a mess of guns to me is more than four. A mess of guns. If she had 100 guns on the wall, that would be a mess of guns. 50, I'd even say, is a mess of guns. But four? Come on. One of them looks like a 1800s gun, one's a handgun, and two others are long rifles. It's four, dude. That's not a mess of guns. But we got to keep going. We got to keep the narrative up.
AR-15 style rifles, a handgun, just laying across a bunch of books. Boebert, who is raising four young boys, later tweeted that the guns are not in storage, but are, quote, ready for use. Apparently, she just leaves them out because she fears she may need to fire multiple rounds of ammo into someone who comes into her den. You know, lots of people immediately noted that the use of guns in that way as props and the implicit threat that comes with them has a, you know, long, not necessarily great history among various movements around the globe. Osama bin Laden, for one, liked to pose in front of a bookshelf with a gun prominently displayed.
Let me ask one question of MSNBC. So back in the day when, like, every kid in the South had a gun rack in their pickup truck with a gun behind them, were they all terrorists? Were they all Osama bin Laden 2.0s? Or were they the Osama bin Laden before the Osama bin Laden? If anyone poses with a firearm, is what you're saying now that we are terrorists? If I have a gun on my desk, which I do, if I have a gun on the wall in my office, which I do, if I go to a good old barbecue restaurant or a steakhouse that has antique guns on the wall, which I do, does that mean that all of those people are also Osama bin Ladens? Don't roll your eyes at what he just said. This is really what they think of you. This is what they believe you are. They believe you are a terrorist. They believe you are a threat to this country. They believe that your gun should be taken away from you by force if necessary, that the government should come in and seize them, that you should have to register them, you should have to wait days to buy them, that you should only be able to buy so many, that there's an arbitrary number of bullets you should be able to have. And they are all doing this while saying you are a terrorist if you disagree. Or, as Schumer referred you, a merchant of death if you sell them or buy them. Merchant of death. But please, let's have a bipartisan conversation about this. Yes, because this sounds like a table where I'm going to be welcome to have an exchange of ideas. We're going to keep you updated on this, I can promise you. Don't forget our podcast. Without you guys telling others about it, we will never be successful. And you guys have been amazing telling others about our podcast since Facebook has silenced us. We lost our ability to communicate with 1.2 million conservatives. So we are asking for you guys at the grassroots level, please post and share pictures of our podcast. Please tell your family and friends about our podcast. Without you, we won't continue to grow. So thank you for that in advance. And make sure you write a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. giving us a 5-star review. It'll make a huge difference on the Apple charts and other charts as well. All right, I'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota #4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House!
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah. You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah. I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz.
And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.